You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Did you know that Podcast Juice is premium content? Well, check out Podcast Juice All Access. Join today and get instant access to over 9 years of great classic podcasts, members-only shows, and more exclusive content. Go to PodcastJuice.net/All Access and join today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Geeked Out here on PodcastJuice.net. My name is Michael Dean, and joining me today is Mr. Antpool. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Having cool conversations and Johnny Walker Blue Label.
All right. Also, Mr. Sean Hill. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm here. I'm doing well, enjoying this pre-Father's Day day, and just ready to get into some discussion here.
Yeah, all right. And I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Big Sexy and Sack and Q-Storm. They're out in the field today, as we like to say. Not the field doing the sharecropping, but just all right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been quite a week. We're going to get this thing started. So first thing we're going to do is talk about a new movie that was released this week, a movie called Dope. And for those who don't understand slang, though, it's probably, well, I don't know, maybe it does play in a movie, but I don't think it's necessarily about moving dope, but I do think that is something in the story. So this is a new movie sort of on the teen slash hood slash comedy genre. I've been hearing a lot of buzz about this movie. I didn't get a chance to see this thing yet, actually, but it has opened wide here in Seattle, which was very shocking to me. It's pretty much in every theater in the city. But Sean Hill, resident movie reviewer, I know you saw this movie.
Yes, sir.
Give us the rundown. First, tell us what it's about.
It's about three high school students, Malcolm, Diggy, and Jib. They're self-proclaimed geeks living in Inglewood, California. Now, when I saw the poster, I instantly thought, okay, wow, this movie is going to be is set in the 90s. No, it's actually set in contemporary times. They're just obsessed with 90s hip-hop, which is, I'm like, that's a thing, but I'm not mad at them for that. They dress in the garb. They obsessively watch videotapes of UMTV rap over and over again. They're in a garage band, the trio. They call themselves the Oreos, which is kind of an interesting name. Malcolm, he's a smart guy. He has dreams of going to Harvard. He kind of looks like Chris Rock in a way, but that's a side point. Diggy is another friend, and then, like I said, Jib. Essentially, the story is not a coming-of-age story, as you would think. It's actually more of a caper film, and Dope does play into the title or the plot. It's a combination, I would say, of Boys in the Hood meets Superbad, with a touch of Superfly thrown in for good measure. Essentially, what happens is, and I won't give too much away as far as spoilers. Malcolm is invited to this underground party thrown by the neighborhood gangster. I can't remember his name. Dom. While at this party, something happens and Malcolm ends up with the wrong backpack. And you could probably guess what is contained inside the backpack. Those items go missing. He then has to sell some of the other items that are in the backpack to pay for the entire load. And essentially, that's the movie. I was a little bit disappointed because I was, again, expecting more of a drama, more of a, you know, kind of a, you know, again, coming of age story. And it turns out that it's more of a caper film than anything else. Did anyone see the movie Fresh probably about 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, with the guy playing chess?
Yeah,
it's classic.
It kind of reminded me of that too, just the plotting and the scheming and whatnot. But I did give it 3 out of 4 stars. It's a very, very funny movie, although, again, it wasn't what I was expecting. And I guess because the writer-director did take a formula plot and infused it with characters that were interesting. There is a surprise about one of the characters. I won't reveal that either, but it's very funny.
Well, let me ask you this, because looking at the trailer, is the surprise that one of those leads is a girl?
Yes. They get better.
I've seen that in the trailer. Okay. Then, yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't watch the trailer, so I go in. Now, was it me or is she a dead ringer for Bruno Mars?
I can't even remember what she looked like, but that's funny.
But the best thing about the movie is the soundtrack. I got to tell you, I listen to this stuff on a regular basis, this 90s hip-hop, but my head was bobbing throughout this entire thing. They had songs like Hip Hop Array and Slam, Rebel Without a Pause, Nas, The World Is Yours, Bugging Out, and Scenario by Tribe Called Quest. I mean, it is a chunk full of that stuff. So if you're into 90s hip-hop, pick up the soundtrack. There are two names here that are definitely keep an eye on. The lead character, Malcolm Shamarik Moore, and if I pronounce his name wrong, he's very good in this. He plays a geek, but he doesn't play the stereotypical movie geek. You know, he's smart, but at the same time, he's a likable guy. He's got charisma. He's got charm. Zoe Kravitz, of course, daughter of Lenny Kravitz and Lisa Bonet. So far, she's been in a lot of movies, but she has been kind of a side character. She's in the Divergent series. She's in Fury Road. But here she gets a little chance to shine. She's not given a lot of screen time, but she's given a chance to shine in the scenes that she does have. So hopefully this film will lead to further roles for her.
That's interesting you say that, because I don't remember her being the star of any movie.
Yeah,
that I've seen. She always is a character.
Yeah,
in a side character. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah, because you know she's in Divergent, and you remember her from Fury Road, right?
Yeah, she's in something else too that I just top of my head. I remember seeing her in this movie, but I can't think of what it's called right now. But it'll come to me later.
Now, normally I think Ant had addressed this in the show notes. Is it worth going to the theaters to see? Part of me says no. Part of me says yes, because it's such a refreshing kind of change of pace film, I like to support these kind of films, so we'll get more of them. So in that aspect, I would say yes, go see it, spend the money. But on the other hand, it is a small picture. It is anything that needs to be seen on the big screen. Now, I'm going to jump on my soapbox for just a minute. As much as I love the film and there's a lot of things I like in it, I got tired of there's an excessive use of the N-word in this movie. I mean, a lot.
Jingle and chain use?
I addressed that in my review. I didn't have a problem with it in Django Unchained because that's the times. Those were the times that word is expected to be used. So I didn't have a problem with it. Here, you know, we're in contemporary times. Every character in the film uses the word at least once or twice. There's even a white character that uses it, and he's given a pass. He's allowed to use it. And it's a funny joke with that, but again, I don't know. That's just
a lot of people use the word now.
No, I know. But, you know, especially it's been in the, you know, debate as far as retiring the word and, you know, white people wanting to say it. And, you know, well, you guys can say it. We can't say it. And say I saw it. I saw it with a predominantly white audience. And so every time that word came out, I'm like, it's almost like, you know, giving them permission. See, it's okay for us to say it. So, I mean, it's a small quibble. It's just me, my soapbox. I mean, I'm not, I use the word on occasion, but it really, really, really got to the point where I was like, like when we did the Chronic review, I was saying I was niggered out. It was the same thing with this. It was like, I just don't want to hear this word anymore because I was enjoying the movie so much. But every time that word came in, I'm like, oh, again, again, again. And then when the white guy started using it, that just like, oh, God, here we go. So, but anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. but yes, it is worth seeing. It's either if you see it at home or if you see it in a theater, you'll enjoy it. It's a good film.
All right. Yeah, I definitely want to see it. I may actually go out and excuse me, check it out today or tomorrow. X-Men First United or
First Class.
First Class. That's the Zoe when she played.
Oh, that's
the big character in there.
Yeah, she had her playing a stripper.
And I ain't got no problem with it.
You know, she's a good actress. She's not, you know, at first I thought, okay, yeah, she's just getting roles because of who her dad is, right? But here, you know, she actually gets to act. She gets to interact. She's,
After Earth.
Yeah. She's kind of, yeah, she's the brother. Just, or the brother.
No, whoa. Trans.
Yeah, wrong movie. So yeah, she's the love interest for Malcolm, and their little story is kind of cute. So I definitely would like to see a little bit more. I'll tell you one thing too about it. Make sure you stay. Excuse me. Make sure you stay around for the credits, because at the end of it, Malcolm and the actor and as Malcolm does all these dances from the 90s, and it's hilarious. And I mean, he's like, he's not doing them bad. He's doing them great. And it was definitely cool to see. Mm-hmm. And there's a clever nod to Superfly that I would guarantee you I was the only person in the audience that caught the reference. I was like, oh, cool, that's Superfly.
Hmm.
So, all right. And you'll probably catch it too if you see it.
I'm just looking. I'm stuck on Zoe mode here. Apparently, she stars in a movie. At least she's on the cover with Precious. They're both on the cover of this movie called Yelling to the Sky. So. I guess she's doing more work than I'm aware of, but
I haven't heard of that one. I hope that was one of those direct to DVD or whatever.
It might have been. It says this film premiered at the 61st Berlin International Film Festival.
Burning Man,
Yelling to the Sky. Oh, I mean to the yeah. Let's call you the movie. Actually, I'm looking. Yeah, she's all in this movie. Huh. Anyway.
Yeah.
Dope. Yeah, I would definitely check it out. Definitely want to see that. The trailer. Funny. And also, I believe the guy who plays Dom, is that A$AP Rocky? If I'm saying his
yes.
name.
Yes. Yeah. I had to be told that. I didn't know that independently.
So yeah, check that out. You know, this movie, it seems on the surface, it sort of sits in the same lane of when I see this. For some reason, I keep thinking of Poetic Justice.
Probably because of the looks.
It sort of mixes sort of drama with comedy. With that said, you know, Ampu had a good thing on here. We should, what's our top three? Now you were saying hood comedies?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go ahead.
You know, since I guess we'll start with Do the Right Thing, and more so with Boys in the Hood, they introduce the somewhat hood movies of the downtrodden, boys from the hood, dealing with the drugs and all the gangsters and all that stuff. But then there was movies like Friday, The Wood, and that kind of made hood comedies a genre. And then I guess we all believe that Dope was another continuation of that. So I wanted to see what were some of our favorite ones. I think, you know, for me, I have to go with The Wood, Friday, and Crooklyn.
Hmm.
Spike Lee's one.
Yeah. For me, number one comedy, then, if it's comedy, it's Friday. I mean, it's just, to me,
it's got to be Friday.
Classic movie. I remember seeing that in the theaters in tears. I couldn't believe a movie could be that funny. At the age that I was at when I saw it, I was just blown away. Chris Tucker. Another hood comedy. For me, there's a lot of comedic elements for me in Poetic Justice.
I
laugh at what's my man? Well, Regina King's character is hilarious.
Guy Tori.
Oh, hey. It's just came in creeping. Yeah, Guy Tori. Him with that brush. He
always brushing his head.
Hysterical to me. Fuck you, nigga. Oh, man. Just, let's see, it was funny to me. Let's see, the third one. Hood comedies? I don't know if it's a hood comedy, but it's a black comedy type movie. Now the name just escapes me. The movie Hollywood Shuffle.
I can go with that.
In freaking tears. Actually, I would say, let me be clear. Hollywood Shuffle, number one. Friday, number two. And then Poetic Justice. Hollywood Shuffle, when I saw that movie, it was actually me and Tobias and another one of our partners. We almost got thrown out of the theater. We were laughing so hard. I mean, I'm not bullshitting. We were scream laughing. It was just so funny to us. That movie killed me for many years. I used to recite the lines from that movie.
Afro,
Winky Dinky Dog, Batty Batty Batty. You know, just that movie's hilarious. But that's my three. Go ahead. But,
you know, my favorite line for that movie is the guy that plays the Batty Batty Batty. He's like, "What about art? It's not about art. It's about sequel.
Does your character die?
Die,
die in the script? Then it's a good script." Actually, you kind of stole mine, because I would definitely put Hollywood Shuffle up there as probably the movie that kind of started it all. Maybe, you know, She's Gotta Have It's up there too, I think. Mm-hmm. But as far as I think just quality, I think Hollywood Shuffle's a better film than She's Gotta Have It. I don't know if this is a hood movie, but it has a scene that takes place in the hood, so I'm going to say House Party.
Damn it. Yep. You're right. It is.
Classic.
And then, of course, Friday. House Party, again, just my favorite line of not, it doesn't come from Kid, it doesn't come from Play. It comes from Shireen's brother when he's making the Kool-Aid. Said, "What color? What's your grape or red?" <That's hilarious. laughs> Like red's a flavor now. So.
I said that very thing last night to my girlfriend. I said, "I want a jelly donut." She's all kind of said, "Grape or red?"
I have to watch that movie again. That movie is absolutely hilarious.
That's the best thing Richie Hudlin ever did.
Yep.
Yeah. There's actually a picture, real quick, there's a picture circulating. I keep seeing this on my timeline of the cast of the movie.
Oh, I saw that.
Hey, what they look like now.
Good Lord have mercy.
Except for AJ Johnson.
Martin Lawrence.
Except for Martin, yeah.
Absent.
Oh, he too.
Yeah, see. Someone said he was 200 feet away from them when the shot.
You know, I think that picture actually came from that it was Alicia Keys' birthday party or something. I don't know if you guys remember this. This was like a year ago, a couple years ago. Like her Swiss Beast. She wanted to have a house party themed show, and he got all of them to come, and they all dressed up. And I think that's where that picture comes from.
Money talks down.
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Mm.
I guess not to Martin Lawrence.
Martin's got a trade order, so he ain't going.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, Martin was 200.
That's right.
200 feet away from him. I got you.
What about you, Big Sexy?
I can't even think of what the topic is. Best hood movies?
Comedy.
Hood comedy.
Comedy movies.
Yeah. Oh, shit. You know, you already named the three that I would have named. I would have won House Party. Well, Hollywood Shuffle, House Party, then She's Gotta Have It.
Well, I think three that we would be remiss in not mentioning. Was it Uptown Saturday Night?
Oh shit, you're going way back.
Yeah. ATL.
Never saw it.
Yeah, that's the one with T.I. and Lauren London. It was a nice little film. Yeah, it was a nice one. And then of course, I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
Oh yeah.
I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
Dirty Mother.
Yeah. All right. And then I guess maybe a fourth one would be Barbershop. To an extent. Yeah. I mean, it made a lot of money. You can't deny it was.
Barbershop 3 is on the way.
Yeah. I'm not like, they got Nicki Minaj in that. I'm like, Nicki Minaj, as long as she doesn't talk, okay.
Well, you know she's going to talk, so.
She don't have to. It's like, look, Nicki, we can't afford you talking. So you just stand there with your big ass, make sure it's, you know, you got your Spanx on, and let's keep it pushing.
She was in that Cameron Diaz movie. Oh, gosh. I can't,
there you go. That's all you need to know. You can't remember it.
I remember. I heard she was pretty whack in that.
She was very whack in that. Yes, she played. She played the best dressed secretary I've ever seen in the history of movies. She was Cameron Diaz's secretary.
Kim Kardashian.
Oh well. Oh, okay, a tie. That's a tie. Yeah, you're right. Well, Kim, she wasn't a secretary in Temptation, was she? I don't remember what her role she was in. But, yeah.
Tyler Perry. Come on now. All right. The Dope. Definitely gonna check that out.
Yep.
It sounds like a pretty good
movie.
Maybe
we can revisit that when you see it.
yeah, for sure. Okay, let's move over to video games. It was a big week for video games. The E3 conference was this week. A lot of big stuff came out. The press conferences from Sony and Microsoft. I know Nintendo had some sort of event, which I didn't really see that. I'll say this from the top. I think that E3 was presented very well online, you know, because I'm obviously not going to be able to attend it, but the way the coverage was presented this year, particularly to me, YouTube sort of really launched their whole little E3 channel and had all the conferences.
YouTube gaming,
yeah, it was launched, they had everything was HD, it was perfect. You know, I think we've gotten to the point now where live streaming events, when done right, they did an excellent job with this. I was able to watch the stuff. I was at work watching it and could pause it and watch it later. It was always great. let's go around for those who are up on this, and I think Ann Poo is up on this. Ann, let me ask you, what did you think about, I'm going to start at Microsoft. What did you see from Microsoft that sort of impressed you and some things that didn't?
Well, Microsoft officially will get my money this year as I finally get a next-gen console with the Xbox One, as they're giving us backwards compatibility.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
Now, see, my problem is that I'm slowly becoming, turning from a hardcore gamer to one of those casual gamers where I'm just not that excited for titles anymore. So, people are just losing their mind over Mass Effect and Halo and Fallout 4. And I'm looking at, okay, Dark Souls 3. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not playing any of those games. And yes, you know, full disclosure, I worked for Konami and Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain's coming out.
What?
I'm gonna let you, yeah. And I'm I'm looking like, yeah. I'm not going to be a hater, but yeah, I can skip that. I'm just going to be honest with that. But I mean, Microsoft, they were able to secure enough big titles to make people think, okay, yeah, this shit is going to be good. But I'm like, there's nothing new. There's nothing where you want to say that you really have to go spend your $60. I think it's $60 to buy. I mean, if you've already been an online multiplayer first-person shooter, that's all they're going to give you. There's nothing new for any casual, like for me, to get excited about and play. I don't see anything.
There's no new entry for Need for Speed?
Yeah, they did show a new Need for Speed.
Oh, shit, there you go. They got me.
Yeah. To me...
And it looked pretty good. I'm not all up on those games, but I don't know, the gameplay footage, I was pretty impressed, actually. I was like, wow.
Gaming is becoming Hollywood in the sense that it's all sequels and IPs. How do we squeeze the last bit of dollars out of these IPs? And I need the innovation. There's nothing new there's no new take on these video games that's getting me excited.
Well, you know, going back to Microsoft, I'm going to finish off on that. I didn't really see anything super impressive to me personally. And going back to your point, I think games are at a point now where they are not, I mean, they sort of reached their bench level for right now, in my opinion. Like, the graphics look great, but there isn't anything past that yet. I mean, the graphics have looked great to me 2 years ago, you know, if you had like a PC or something. So now I feel like the consoles sort of look exactly like that, which looks excellent, but there isn't anything that blew me away. With that said, I will say there was one thing that Microsoft did that I thought was crazy. What do they call it? The Halo Hololo lens? It's with the headset thing. I don't know if you saw this, Ampul. It's like a VR thing you wear in your...
You mean like with Oculus Rift?
It's like that, but it's a different technology they call Halo or HoloLens. And here's what amazing about it. They had a guy on stage playing Minecraft. And he has the headset on. Now, for us to experience what he sees, they had another camera up there filming this table. And in the table, the Minecraft world starts to generate itself in 3D up out of the table. And the guy standing there looking over it, and he's like a god. Like, he can manipulate the game. From out, you know, he can see the entire world, and he can zoom in all the way. There's another person that was playing. Go find this footage on YouTube. It was absolutely fascinating. That's next level type shit. I'll give Microsoft some credit on that. I was like, I don't know how you could play some games like that, but that technology looked amazing. It was sort of like Star Wars when they show the Princess Leia. You know, you're my only hope. I mean, that's a very I'm losing my words. That's like a very rude, crude version of it. But what they showed was a full-on world map that you could just stand back and use. Like shit that you see like the Avengers doing, like Tony Stark when he's got the...
Yeah.
But it was in detail. It was actually pretty filthy. I was like, that's amazing. I don't know how they're going to present that to the gaming, but they showed Minecraft, and it's definitely playable. And so for some games, maybe strategy-type games and stuff like that, if they get that to the home, that's going to be amazing. But I could see other applications for that, movies or, you know, manipulating your computer or something. But so that was pretty amazing. I give them that. But other than that, Tomb Raider, Microsoft has that exclusive. I'll be getting that game. I love the last one.
The game that I'm most excited about is the new Mirror's Edge, because I love the first one.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely check that. That looks a lot better.
That was some next level stuff when it came to the PS. Well, not gonna say next level, but again, it was a new IP, and it was just something cool.
That's actually not new.
No. I meant for the, when it came on the PS3.
Oh, right.
Yeah, when it first came out. So I was like excited. So that's a sequel that I'm actually excited about because I enjoyed the first one.
I would say that the game that I'm most, I was like, yeah, you know, that's cool. But when I saw the gameplay footage of the Star Wars. Was Battlefront? They already got me. They got me. I have to buy that game. To me, that looked amazing. The graphics looked tight. You know, the sound effects just is all Star Wars. That game could still suck, but I'm gonna buy it anyway because it just looked amazing to me. The experience of it looked fascinating. What do you think about that?
I enjoyed it. It looks like a nice, smoothly run. A first-person shooter, so I'm hoping that's going to be how the things run online. But my only question is when Vader shows up, I'm like, who gets to play with him?
Yes.
I'd love to know how that operates.
Must depend on the points a person may have at that particular time. They get to call down and be that, I think they call them hero characters. So somebody gets to be Luke, too.
Oh,
but I think so it depends on probably, I would imagine, you know, who's got the high score on that particular time in a level or something like that. But yeah, you do get to jump into these characters, so that would be pretty amazing. Kind of like when you have games like Left 4 Dead, where somebody can be that tank character. I don't know how familiar you are, but they can sort of be a dominating character for a short period of time. So yeah, Star Wars, that game, it just looked amazing. The actual gameplay looked amazing. I was like, okay, yeah, that's going down. The other game that blew me away, and I'm a huge fan of this game, is Uncharted 4. Man, I don't even have a PS4. But I will be getting one when that game comes out. Because I bought a PS3 only to play Uncharted. Uncharted 2. That was my favorite games of all time. And I got Uncharted 3. That was worth me buying a PS3 alone for that. So Uncharted 4 looked amazing. Like, God damn. Can't come any quicker. Any other standouts? Anything from E3?
Well, the only thing that caught my attention, I saw there's this like this trailer or long trailer for the new Doom release.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I gotta have this. I have to have this. This is just insane. Now, Ant's the expert here, so Ant, let me ask you. Yes, I don't want to, you know, go sideways from E3 too much, but a friend of mine was a PS4 head. And, you know, I was a PS3 guy, but I'm hearing people are just jumping ship, like you said, because of the backwards compatibility to the Xbox One. Is that going to be the big deal this summer?
It depends on how many, because right now they've released, I believe, 100 games that they're saying are backwards compatible. A lot of them are first-party titles and Xbox exclusive. So it's really going to be dependent on which of the third-party makers get on board. Like, for me, I'm waiting for Activision and Microsoft to announce the Call of Duty Black Ops, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 to be backwards compatibility. When that happens, I am buying an Xbox One. Because I was going to be forced to buy Xbox One for this year's Call of Duty because I love zombies. And then they said it was going to be on Xbox 360. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I can go another year. Because there's really nothing making me – there's really nothing that I have to play on the Xbox One. But if it goes backwards compatible, then I'm like, all right, fine. That's just going to be the main thing. But the thing of it is that most of the games moving forward, they're not doing current gen games. Most of them are already making all of the games for the next gen, so you have to do it. And right now, for some reason, it's PlayStation because of the graphics and the more stable system. A lot of people believe, because this is American dominated, that Xbox 360 won that last gen, and to an extent it did. But the PlayStation was a better overall system. It could do things that Xbox wished could only dream it could do.
And well, I like the fact that it was able to be used as a media hub. That was my thing.
Xbox or PlayStation?
Oh, my PlayStation 3. And I think you lost that in PlayStation 4 a little bit.
No, PlayStation 3 was horrible as a media hub. I mean, it was their UI was ridiculous. It was just hard to navigate that. That's why Xbox is still is the leader with that, because it's just so easy to smoothly get from one place to the other on your Xbox Live. Your Xbox Home, I should say.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people have this stigma against Microsoft. Even though they do make this good technology, people still have the stigma against Microsoft as this greedy, evil American corporation. And they have this affinity for the Japanese consoles, which is why Nintendo and Sony, despite themselves, probably will never go out of business, because the gamers, hardcore gamers, have this affinity for these Japanese console makers. But, I mean, the thing that Microsoft does well is they make easy technology for you to navigate their system, which matters most to me. Sony just makes really great fucking hardware that plays damn good technology, damn good games.
And that's, you know, so I'm a fan of both of them, right? I have a personal preference for the Xbox One only because that's what I have right now. But like, I did have a PS3, right? But the thing about Sony to me, yeah, technically their stuff in the innards is far superior, but I think the execution and the games and the experience is not there. You know, to me, I thought that the Vita was an excellent piece of hardware, but that thing has been abandoned, right? Like, doesn't matter if it's better than the Nintendo One or better than any sort of gaming handheld. No one's playing that, right? The execution of how they present that to the people just doesn't catch on. You know, they don't have... I mean, they had Uncharted on there, which for me would have been a must-sell, but I didn't see anything else that would make me want to go grab that as opposed to just using my phone or something. Even in the PlayStation PS3, I bought the Xbox One full-heartedly because I wanted to play Master Chief Collection, right? Now, that game ended up being a failure to me because it didn't work. But... Most of them carry the exact same games, you know, the big games, right? They all got Call of Duty, they all got Grand Theft Auto. But Microsoft, I don't know if because they just got a bankroll, they'll have the exclusive content first or things of that nature. Plus, I think somebody brought up the media presentation on that Xbox is bar none to me. Fascinating and a great experience. I probably watch movies and TV and YouTube on my Xbox more than I play games on it. And I have a ton of games. But again, it is so easy to turn it on and pull up YouTube. You know, it's my YouTube account with all my stuff right there. It's got live TV on it. You know, Slingbox, I'll go watch that. It's got HBO Go. It's got Amazon, you know, all the stuff. And it's just so easy to jump in and watch. You know, you can split the screen and watch the TV on this side and have my game playing at the same time, simultaneous, and blah, blah, blah. I'm able to have the movies on my computer. Like, I'll download movies. And then with this click of a button, they're playing on my TV, streaming wirelessly through my Xbox. And I didn't have to do anything. You know, I can see my computer from my Xbox and watch movies or listen to music. So just the seamlessness of the experience is incredible. I can sit there with my tablet, right? And my tablet knows when that Xbox is on, and the little button will come up and, hey, do you want to watch this on your Xbox? Yeah. And boom, it's on the 55-inch. So to me, just that media hub part, which a lot of people were clowning it for at the beginning, is actually one of the greatest selling points in my opinion. Like, I love it.
Agree.
Who owns YouTube? Does anybody know?
Google.
Reason why I ask, because I know YouTube's been removed from all of my DVDs and players and all that. I use Sony or Samsung, and it's been removed from all of those, which I don't understand why. Is that because it's like with Microsoft exclusively now, or does anyone know?
I don't know. That's interesting. I don't think Microsoft has an exclusive deal with YouTube. They probably hate YouTube, but they and kind of choice but to deal with them.
Yeah, because that would be, you know, I'll be sitting downstairs. I'll think of, you know, like a movie or trailer or something like that. I'll go, let me pop this up and see if Palmer wants to see this. And, like, it will say YouTube will no longer be serviced as of da-da-da.
Really?
As of April 1st, it's gone from my Samsung Blu-ray downstairs, but Samsung Blu-ray upstairs.
Oh,
my
Samsung.
Yeah, and Sony.
Yeah,
and
of course Sony. Samsung is not going to be supporting nothing Google, right? They're in direct competition with tablets and all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay, well, then that answers my question.
Now, here's something that was interesting. I ended up getting with some of my old coworkers at Konami. We had the discussion. Watch out for Amazon. Apparently, within the last year or two, Amazon has quietly acquired a number of gaming studios, and a lot of them were supposed to be creating content for their tablets, mobile games, but since they had all of this talent, they're starting a home console gaming division. So which is good for gaming, because hopefully they'll come up with some new creative IPs. But Amazon is about to become a player, and they have a shit ton of money.
Yeah, I wish them the best. To me, Amazon. I can only hope they get the games right, if that's what they're going to do. To me, they just stretch this stuff too thin. Like, to think, like the phone. Remember that phone that came out? They was going to change the game with the phone and blah, blah, blah. They sell that shit for, a penny now, and still ain't buying it. So and it's not that it's terrible. It's just, But we'll see. Yeah. A new IP these days is a hard sell, right? Like, one game we didn't mention, and I saw the gameplay demo. I can't think of what it called. It was like that girl, and she was fighting like this robotic, like dinosaur thing. Did you see that one?
Nah, that one escaped me too.
Oh, this looks brilliant, like badass, and it's brand new. It's not a sequel. It's a totally new thing. That was the only new thing that I actually saw that was like had my mouth open. I had to find that game. That game looked amazing.
Can we have a moment of silence for Nintendo? Because I don't know what they're doing. I really don't. It's working for them because, you know, not only do they create the games, but they own the hardware as well. But it's like you have so many IPs and you have Shigeru Miyamoto on staff. It's like, how are they not turning out more product? I mean, Super Mario Maker, that has people excited. They have a new Legend of Zelda, but it's like, I just don't get it. I mean, they excited people because they brought Ryu and I forgot the other guy from another game into Super Smash Brothers. But it's like, where is your content? I mean, you have between Mario, Zelda, Metroid, which I believe they announced a trailer for that. Pikmin, which I really love. Pokemon, Donkey Kong, Kirby. It's just like, I don't get it. I really just don't get what's going on with Nintendo. I'm thinking more than likely a new console is coming next year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily a fan or against Nintendo. I think they service their fan base, you know, and they just stay in their lane, man. I think as long as they continue to do Mario and all those other games, the people who are into Nintendo are going to stay with Nintendo. If one day if they decide, you know what, we're going to open these games to their other consoles, I mean, then they're going to win all over again. So I just think they stay in their lane, man, which I can't be mad about that.
Was there any tie-in or promotions with that Pixies movie that's coming out?
I don't believe they were. Well, they do have Donkey Kong, so yeah, there you go. Pac-Man's not them. Pac-Man is Bandai.
No, I'm just wondering though if there was any kind of, you know, promotion with any company that was at this event. Was there any tie-in to that movie? Just curious.
Not so much because. The big player in Bandai Namco, they didn't even have a booth there. So, yeah.
Speaking of, kind of segued to Comic-Con real quick, I read that Marvel, Sony, and someone else is not participating this year.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
I think they say, hey, Star Wars has got it. We just, you got it, player. You got it.
Well, it's Star Wars, and obviously DC is apparently
going
hard this year, which they should. So, I think Marvel pretty much showed everything they got coming. It was a few months ago when they had their little thing. in California. I don't know if they got, maybe they don't really need to show anything for Civil War right now. They should be just focused on Ant-Man personally, but I don't know. We'll see. I can't wait to see what DC is going to show. What's the guy who's playing Luther? Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh,
yeah, he was
blogger.
He was quoted as saying, you know, he's supposed to, they got him there for at least an hour, so he said you can expect a pretty big push from DC or whatever they're going to be showing. And obviously they got two big movies, Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad. So
sorry, Suicide Squad is looking like a mess.
It is.
I have no faith in that film.
Looks good. I mean, again, I'm just judging on pictures, but the Batman and the Joker, that shit look crazy to me. I'm like, I don't know what it's about, but...
Is it me or does this look like just like another Dark Knight chapter, you know, from Frank Miller on the Batman one?
He does. He is, you know, inspired by that, which I ain't mad at.
Well, then why isn't DC saying that?
Well, again, they're letting the pictures speak for themselves. Because they haven't really said anything, really. They just, these pictures are leaking.
Big Sexy, you know the answer to that. They ain't got the people that know that making those type of decisions.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right, anything else on E3 video games?
Nope, that's about it.
All right. Oh,
yeah. Oh, actually, one more.
Shimmy.
One of the things during the Microsoft press conference, they announced a crowdfunding for, in my opinion, one of the lost games from the 90s, Shenmue 3, which I'm like, a crowdfunding
for
that?
Was that on the Microsoft or the Sony one?
I'm sorry, yeah, Sony. You know, it's easy to have. So, yeah, I'm like, that to me is just crazy that's how they're going to bring that game to market, but I'm excited for it. I love those two games.
They got their money. I don't know if you saw that. It was the fastest Kickstarter of all time.
Well, hey. So I'm all for that. All for it.
Yeah, I remember playing. I never played the second one of that. I played the first one. Was that on Dreamcast?
Yep.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Yeah, that's right. I love Dreamcast.
Damn.
Sega Dreamcast. That was a dope system, man.
Yes, it was.
I still have mine.
Really?
Every so often, I'll pull it. Pause.
Ew.
Yeah. I will bring it out of mothballs and play this wrestling game called Giant Gram.
Wasn't the big game on there? I think Soul Calibur.
NBA
Soul Calibur
NFL
was down,
season.
Man.
Yeah, we had tournaments at my crib on that.
Wasn't
that
with Cervantes? You couldn't tell me it was Soul Calibur, man.
Yeah.
And for the hood Negroes, it was NBA and NFL 2K. And for me, as a, I was Fire Pro Wrestling and Royal Rumble and Giant Gram 2K.
All right, yeah. All right, I got one quick question. We're gonna go over to TV, and I want to ask Sean Hill, sir. I believe I asked you about Wayward Pines. Did you ever see that new episode?
It was so funny. I watched it this morning, and I was thinking to myself, this is some bullshit. Well, let me back up. The first reveal, I was cursing your name. I'm like, Michael D, this is some bullshit. Really, this is some what was the village shit? I was like, come on, man. But then the
spoilers, I ain't seen it yet.
And did I say what it was?
You don't know what it is.
And then the big reveal, I'm like, okay. All right. my bad, Mr. D. My bad. This definitely a head buster. And then they gave us that 2 week reprieve. I'm all like, right. What the hell? Because I was looking for it to tape Thursday. I'm like, come on. But yeah, so it's definitely. I'll be back next week to see. Part of me says this is a big, ruse. It's a big, indoctrination type thing to test them, but you know, we'll see. I'm as they say, all in now. That definitely
did you see that coming though? That was the thing.
No, not even, like I say, the first reveal I kind of saw from the ending of the last episode, and you know, again, when they did that, I was, again, you know, my apologies cursing your name, but But yeah, so I'm in. I'm ready to catch and see where they're gonna go from here.
Right. Yeah. It was that. I gotta respect it, even though I was kind of like, whoa. But I give them. I love it because they're only gonna do 10 episodes.
Right.
So
right.
It's like, yeah, go all the way in and tell the story and change it all up. So that was interesting. All right. So we got a new season 3 of Orange is the New Black. Debut now. Please be careful on the spoiler topics. I ain't even finished watching season 2 yet.
I haven't even. I'm on episode 1 of season 1. So.
Oh, there you go. So I'm the only one that had initiative to actually watch it and complete it in the first weekend.
Woo.
Shame on you.
Well,
shame,
sir, I am also trying to catch up on Walking Dead, also, sir. So
you know, to paraphrase our Jedi Master Yoda. Do or do not. Do not try, motherfucker.
There's only so many hours in the day.
Spoken like a true...
What's the verdict on the season 3?
It's okay. It's okay. It's to me, season 2 was awesome. I've told you there's this character V, who to me is the next step of the black gangster. You know, you had... Stringer Bell, then you had Gus Fring. V to me is just as good as a black boss. She was awesome in season 2. I love all the moves that she did, and she was very compelling. Season 3, it just got too existential. Oh my God. There's this new character, Ruby Rose, that, you know, that the main character has an interest in Piper. Not to spoil anything, but then the jail might get shut down, and then there's a bid to get it bought by a corporation, which of course brings in all of this talk about privatized prison systems and things of that nature. The characters are true to who they've been for the first and second season, but I just feel like they don't really break new ground. And then for me, there's a interaction going on between one of the prisoners with a new guards, because the corporation comes to take over. They cut costs by not really training the guards, so you got these know nothing guards that are interacting with the prisoners, and of course, some type of relationship blooms. I won't spoil what happens there, but to me, I hated where that went, and I just know that had more to do, and I'm sorry, you could think that I'm anti-feminist, I'm anti-woman, I hate women all you want. I just know it had everything to do with making women feel good and validating their feelings, and I hated seeing it. You'll see it when it occurs, but I was just thinking to myself, like, really? The same motherfuckers that get on Game of Thrones for their portrayal of rape culture are going to praise Orange is the New Black for what they did. So it's not better than season 2. It's definitely the worst of the 3 seasons, which isn't saying much. And the other thing is the character of Sophia. I didn't like what they did. But, you know, and I hope I don't offend anyone, transgender is the new black. So they had to make her issues be validated and important in the series. But to me, like, the first issue was the first episode of the season was Mother's Day. So you have someone who is, yes, she's transgender, but she is literally the father of her child. And it pissed me the fuck off. I'm like, wait a minute.
Wait, what?
Yes. So Laverne Cox, she plays a transgendered inmate. She is literally the father of her child, and it pissed me off because you try to tell me this boy is coming on Mother's Day to visit his father because they're now sharing Mother's Day because she's transgender. That shit, that made me not want to watch the rest of the season, because that shit just pissed me the fuck off. Like, wait a minute, why does his mother have to share Mother's Day with his transgendered father? You're the father, literally. You can't take that away.
Well, see, you're the fucking father. You brought up a point why I never really got into the show. It's a good show, but I just remember in season 1 where they kind of show, I think it was a flashback to that character when he was like a man and sort of showing like how it started to interrupt, you know, the family life between him and his wife. And I just remember that scene where they kept taking the boy to the barbershop early on or something, and it was like the dudes in the barbershop kind of felt bad for the little boy, like, damn, your dad you know, cross-dressing, and he's trying to be a woman, but he's not being a man. That kind of shit like that, it was hard for me to watch that. I was like, ah, this is, I mean, with respect to whatever else, like, this is kind of on that bullshit, man. I was like, eh, it's not really funny to me or something. I just couldn't really get into it. That's kind of why I haven't really watched the show that much. Cause,
well, you should watch season two because of that V character. She was, I mean, people might say it's blasphemous to compare her to Stringer Bell and Gus Fring, but I thoroughly enjoyed her character. Thoroughly. But another thing happens is, and this isn't too much spoiler, but one of the inmates, a Latina, she asked Sophia, can your family bring my son with me? Because he had no other methods of being there. So, of course, all of a sudden, the son is acting out. Sophia's son is acting out and doing all these bad things. And she's blaming it on this Latina's boy's influence. She finds out that it has nothing to do with him. And instead of being a real one and apologizing, she doesn't. And shit goes wrong and she gets targeted. And she's blaming everything on everybody else. And I'm like, nah, bitch, you started that shit. You know, if you weren't prepared to take it all the way there, then you shouldn't have started it. But of course, the real story is how transgender people have to deal with these interactions in this harsh prison system. To which, to that, I say, well, motherfucker, don't do the crime and go to prison. Like, I don't give a fuck.
There it is.
It's like, I'm like, why the fuck should I care that you're being mistreated in jail? You're in fucking jail. Motherfuckers been getting raped in jail for how long? But we should care about you.
Let me ask you this, and you can spoil this for me. So I remember that sort of thick Mexican chick who was who the prison guard was smashing on the side.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm talking about? Didn't she get pregnant?
She got pregnant. They're having a baby, and that storyline is just that storyline goes crazy. That's all I'm gonna say. Okay. It goes crazy. We just like, wait, what? Yeah, I don't. That one actually is one of the most interesting storylines, plot lines of the season between her interaction. I could go ahead and put that. Her interaction with her mother. So, damn, where are you at in this?
I don't even remember. I just remember that one because I always couldn't understand like why he went raw.
I mean, that was stupid.
Don't make no sense.
I mean, Sean, where are you at?
He gone. Sean. He gone. That's where he's.
Okay. No, I'm here. Dude, I'm first episode. I'm season one, episode one.
I just picture Sean running to the mic. Oh, no, I'm here.
All right. Well, spoilers. So, since there is the issue where she does end up pregnant by this guard, they end up pinning it on another guard.
Wow.
So, yeah. Oh, damn. You didn't know that?
I'm not that far. I didn't think he was that type of guy. So, he's grimy, huh?
Well, when you around a bunch of grimy ass inmates, you know, and you trying to protect yourself, it's like, well, fuck it, fine. But you know, you'll see how it plays out. So in season three,
was it black guard they tried to?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, here you go.
They got two black men, and one of them is a transgendered woman. So,
Lord.
Anyway, so that guard that they pinned it on comes to find out he comes from a wealthy family. And the mother still believes.
Prison guard.
You'll see. You will see. Because I said the same thing. Like, wait a minute, what?
Did he get disowned or something? I don't understand.
Yeah, because he has two brothers. One's a doctor, and I think the other's a lawyer or something. So I guess he's literally the black sheep. Anyway, so that mother comes and is like, you know, like, look, this is my grandchild. I want to take I want to take care of this. I want to do this. Da, 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 da. So, you know, the pregnant inmate, Dahlia, she's like, I don't want to have nothing to do with it because she knows it's not his child. But, you know, she got that trifling ass mom. It's like, okay, what's the angle? So when you see that play out, that's one of the best stories of the season, seeing how that all goes about.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I will go back to that show. There's just so much to watch these days. God.
They do a lot of setup for season four because, I mean, of course, this appeals to not only just women, but, you know, the LGBTQ community as well.
Beginning with the Q. What the hell does that mean?
Queer. I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. It's now queer in there, and I'm like, I thought the LGBT covered the Q. Yeah. But apparently, that's something different. I don't know what to tell you.
All right. any other comments on this show before we move on?
There was an article of BuzzFeed where apparently queer girls, which I guess encompasses all of them. Again, I don't know what that means. Are upset that straight women are saying that they will turn gay for Ruby Rose, which is this new MA. I ain't gonna lie. She's an Australian model. She's really cute, but she has too many goddamn tattoos for my liking. She has a nice pair. I'm sorry, ladies. She has a nice pair of perky tits that I will give her props for that. A nice firm ass. But she ain't all that. But there's this thing that women have been saying, they've been tweeting, they've been putting up Instagram posts and saying, I'll turn gay for her. And queer women are upset about that because you diminish my I'm gonna say lifestyle, the fact that they were born gay, and you're making it seem like it's a choice when you're born this way. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
What about Jenner?
What about what?
Jenner.
Apparently he was always feeling like a woman. I don't know. But
that
is their thing. And I just think that I just want them to shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
All right. Man, you're keeping up on these women issues. And
No, here you go. See, this is why we can't be great.
Check your timeline there, sir. Check your sources. Where
exactly
are your sources,
why we
man?
Can't be great.
No, I'm just your advocate for every show. It's always something about the females and the protesting, and that's your lane. You do it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. Let's see here. There's another show. I'm still so far behind on Game of Thrones.
What?
Yeah, I'm just trudging through season 2. I'm almost finished.
Good luck. 2.
I think it's 2, yeah. I maybe like watch maybe 2 or 3 episodes every couple weeks,
Sean, please tell me you're up to date with Game of Thrones.
No, I've never seen the show and probably never will.
It's a good show. It's a good show. Very good show.
I'm up to date. I watched the finale last night.
I'm not into the whole sword and sorcery thing. I even skip movies like that. So
you weren't a geek, is what you're telling us?
Just not my thing.
Well, without spoiling as much as you can.
You can't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, from what I hear, the way I see these headlines, I don't think you can. But I mean, are you like, yeah, I'm ready for some more, another season, or?
Actually, the finale was not. I mean, I think the 2 episodes prior to that, episode 8 and 9, were far better. This episode, they just did some shocking things. They had Cersei give the walk of shame. I mean, the ultimate walk of shame. You know how they say women have that walk of shame because they did a one night stand and they're walking with their panties in their purse, and like, God damn, I can't believe I fucked that dude. But Cersei took it to a whole new level. I want to say 3 people were killed in the finale. One they should have saw coming. The other one, everybody's up in arms about. But it was 3. But it wasn't that great of a finale. It's just that it was just shocking. The last scene, the last image is just really shocking because people were like, what the fuck? Like, no. Because it's like, where did they go? Because like everybody says, Game of Thrones, you feel like you have hope, and then it's like, nah, motherfucker, we gonna take that away from you.
What say you, Big Sexy?
What caught my attention most, and I forget names, but my little girl who was the last of the Stark family,
Arya.
When Arya took that dude out, wrong one. Little girl wasn't having it.
Yeah, that dude was just kind of creepy. I'm thinking like
he had to go.
I'm thinking like, okay, so he's going to a brothel and he wants young girls. Okay, I find it repugnant, but okay, I'm cool with it. But then he's beating these young girls, and I'm like, the fuck is going on here? You doing it all wrong, homie.
And then she had to take his eye out, and she just sliced and diced this guy, man.
So yeah. Yeah, Game of Thrones. You have to watch.
Yeah, I would say Sean Hill, if you can find the time, you should start watching it. It's actually a good show.
Give it a look, Sean. You know, you'll be satisfied.
Don't let your kids see it. But
oh, no.
Well, all right. I know the reason why I'm laughing because Palmer's actually watching Walking Dead as well, which, like, okay. And, yeah, she just – that child. Maybe it'll all come out on a therapist's couch in the near future. I don't know. But so far, so good.
So, I mean, you're watching Walking Dead. What do you think?
You know, the first episode, I was like, I don't know. But I got to the end of the first season. I said, okay. I think I got with episode three is where I really – that was like the best episode of the first season at least, when Rick first arrives at the camp and I guess spoilers, he discovers his wife is there and all of that. Like I said, I just started season two. And I wish, you know, I had been watching it from the start, but it was one of those things, even when I started watching it, I'm like, how interesting can zombies be? And I'm hoping that the drama between the characters is what is the, you know, is the driving force behind the show, which it is. I'm liking it. It's gruesome. I like that too. I like that they're going there. I love it when the blood squirts out onto the camera. I really, really like that. They're not pulling any punches as far as the violence. So that was one of the things too that I was afraid of. It's like, you know, how much can they do? It is TV, and you know they're definitely pushing the envelope in that regard. So I'm enjoying it. Interested to see. Now I know from, you know, being on the show, you guys have talked about it quite a bit, and I know some characters that are going to go, and you know there are more characters coming. So I'm kind of, you know, in that respect, I'm kind of at a disadvantage because I know some of these people are probably going to, you know, end up dead. But I'm still enjoying it.
Let me ask this to Mark, Big Sexy, and Aunt Poo, being that I know you guys have seen the show and have read the books. For a person who has never seen the show before, and I would imagine Sean has never read the books, what would you rather them actually do? Read the comic from the start or watch the TV show?
It all depends on which time you have, because...
Which one do you think would give the better story experience?
Oh, comic.
The first 96 issues of
Yeah.
the comic. And actually, the first 40... No, the first 50 issues.
Yeah.
I've been saying, I've gone on record to say that ever since the prison, they've kind of treaded water with few...
I don't even read it anymore.
...stories.
Yeah, I don't even read it.
Actually, you should pick it up now. Since 126, they skipped ahead, I want to say 6 months, maybe a little bit longer, and they have some, they're getting interesting. It's getting interesting what they did.
Yeah, it just started going on. It got boring to me.
To me, it lost me with the, what they call it, is it called the swarm? The herding, where they broke down the walls of Alexandria. After that, and the introduction of Negan, those next 20 issues were just like, okay, what are you doing here, Kirkman?
Yeah, but I will say this. We said it before. Reading that, the first time I ever read that book, not, you know, just, yeah, it's something about zombies, knowing nothing about it. That's some of the best reading, period, that I've ever had, experience that I ever had, period. Books, novels, whatever. That blew me away. That first trade, reading that day and having to go to the comic store that day and buy the second, you know, number two and number three, and just like, God damn, how did this get past me? This is so great. So, yeah.
I did the same thing. When I first got into it, I read I read an issue out of order, and then immediately went back and got that first oversized hardback that has like 24 issues in it, and just that was it. Couldn't put it down. Scared the shit out of me, and I couldn't put it down.
jumping into comics here real quick.
Let me just say one more thing about Walking Dead. One thing that I will say, and I say this a lot about most entertainment and most movies, the show's formula, right? I mean, essentially it's them trying to get from point A to point B, and a zombies, you know, attack them or every so often. What they've done, and what most successful movies, TV shows do, is they make the characters interesting. That's the key. You make the characters interesting. No matter from that point, you're golden, because no matter what happens to what you throw at them, as long as you care about who it's happening to, it could be as formulaic as it wants to be. Like the episode that I just watched was the one where the girl Sophia, she's like lost the entire episode. I still don't know if they find her or not. I mean, that's a pretty standard, you know, episode. It's pretty, I won't say boring, but there's not a lot of plot to it. But because you care about those that group of people, that is the hook. So, you know, so you've seen zombie stuff, you know, Night of the Living Dead and all of that. I mean, it's essentially the same thing, but interesting characters is what drives it.
Yep. All right, comics. There's quite a lot of comic books that came out this week. I wanted to start with Southern Bastards.
I have not read that yet. I did pick it up. Okay. Go ahead and spoil them.
Well, no, I'm not going to spoil it. It starts sort of with, I don't remember the issue before. For some reason, I think it was set in a different time frame or something. But this one sort of starts with a character who's killed and sort of looking into how this happened and the effects of it. It deals with the sheriff of the town, and you kind of see his story. It was another you know, winner out of the ballpark to me, Jason Aaron, man. I mean, this is my preferred wheelhouse for him to be in.
Yeah.
He's doing this sort of gritty type storytelling. This one takes place in the South. I love this book. Now I see that as option to be a TV show. I think it's FX is going to do the show. So I can already tell that show is going to be awesome shit when that come out. If they follow with the book and how the style of it, it's gonna be one of them shows you gotta watch. Southern Bastards is some good stuff.
What did you think of Squadron Sinister?
You know what? I didn't really like it.
And I didn't think you would.
And I didn't like it because I don't like how they just dispatched and took out the Squadron Supreme cats or whatever they're called. They just took them out like they wasn't shit. Like, and they did it snarkingly to me. Like, it's kind of a snark to Michael J. Straczynski or something. How they,
yeah.
You notice how they were all cussing when they talked?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that's corny, man.
Max book, though, when it came out.
Yeah, and I get that. And that's what I loved about it. But they just made it seem like it was every word those characters said had to be cussing. Yeah, but they didn't ever deal with Nighthawk like his character. It just, I didn't like that book at all. It was stupid.
There was this one portion, and I agree with how they too easily dispatched of Straczynski's squadron, but there was this one panel where they're doing like a roll call of the Sinister, and it's so clear that these are the JLA.
Yeah.
It's so clear, and it's like, come on, man. Now, this is not the same team because they're colored a little differently, so I'm thinking what these guys are going to do is just run across all the universes and beat up all the squadron analogs until they run into the one that we know from the Avengers, and it's going to throw down. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen.
I do like, you know, I do like, though, the overall world that all this is taking place with the Thors and stuff. You know,
Thor cops?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Did you read Thor?
Yes, I did.
What do you think about that?
Thors,
yeah.
You know, I like Beta Ray Bill a lot, but this is, you take the hammers away, and what you have is Law and Order.
Yeah, it was a cop procedural.
This is a cop procedural. Yeah. It reminds me of a book that Alan Moore did, God, years ago, called Top 10. It's the same type of premise. You know, you got a bunch of superpowered cops running around. Somebody gets killed. Now we got to go deal with it.
Yeah, it was, and this is Jason Aaron. It was all right.
You know, and I'm still sick of Jane Foster holding a hammer. I just am. Not that a woman can't hold the hammer. But not Jane Foster. Because I remember back in the day when Thor was trying to get up on that, he brought her to Asgard and is all, look, I'm going to have Big Daddy Odin make you a goddess and you can hang with me. Okay. You know, he makes her a goddess, makes her, you know, puts her in this one little task, because in Asgard, what do? You whip ass. She would have never, oh, Thor, I can't do it. Oh! Took off. So now she wants to go from that to being, yeah, nigga, I'm bad. Get out of here. That's bullshit.
And her character plays into the sort of cliffhanger of the end of this book, so that's kind of interesting. But yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Did you read Old Man Logan?
I did. I don't really. It is a pointless
It is.
Thing to do. I understand what they're going to do, obviously bring that character into the current universe, but just he meets up with another version of the X-Men, right?
Yep.
It's nowhere near on the level of the original Old Man Logan.
No. And it's just too much going on in this all these little worlds here. You know, it's too much.
Yeah, they need to sort of. It seemed like they started the Secret Wars thing quickly, and it was kind of moving fast. And now it seems like it's kind of slowing down or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
I still don't understand what's going on.
Are you reading any of it? Or?
I read the first episode. I read the Inferno and the Years of Futures Past.
Did you read I think I was asking somebody to check out the Infinity Gauntlet. Did you ever check that out?
I got halfway through it. I still have it on my iPad to read.
Oh, okay.
I will get to it.
The other big book, in my opinion, Justice League of America number one.
That was good.
Brian Hitch.
Oh, really? Brian Hitch is doing it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I must download that.
So you like that one?
I did enjoy that, yes. I mean, because it was nice and long. It was a double-sized book.
Yeah.
And they gave it time to really build up to what they're doing. It didn't feel rushed at all. But again, and this is going to be, you know, the old fart in the room, I just don't like Cyborg being on that team, man. He's a Teen Titan. Stay in your lane, man.
Yeah, he's got his own book coming out too, right?
Yep.
So yeah, that one's cool.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you get diversity gone wrong.
Speaking of which, I saw on Facebook the other day, I didn't backtrack the source or the article, but apparently there was a dictate? Yeah.
From Spider-Man. Sony.
Yeah. Yes. Apparently Spider-Man has to be straight and white.
And we're talking about in the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the first thing is like, isn't Peter Parker straight and white? What's the big deal? Yeah, you know, a lot of people were outraged by that. A lot of people were outraged by that. I'm like, that's who fucking Peter Parker is. Fuck. Let it go.
Yeah, I think that was another hack.
I think you're right.
They just keep fucking with Sony, huh? They're like, oh, you gonna put that movie on YouTube. I got you. To me, I don't see the outrage either with that, because that's what the character has been. So why be mad at that? Because I'm sure they would feel the same way if North Star were to be changed to heterosexual.
So and the thing is, people who would lose their mind don't even read the damn book.
Exactly.
They just see a sound bite or a press clipping or a YouTube or a Facebook posting. What? Oh, hell no. Do you read the book? No? Shut the fuck up. Because when they had North Star get married, you know, a couple people I know on Facebook, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, man, do you read this book? Well, no. Then how can you say a fucking word? Either support the book or shut the fuck up. There it is.
100.
Look, you can't take a side, you know, and say something. Okay. We all know I'm not a big hip-hop fan. We all know this. That's like me coming to you guys, man, you guys better buy, you know, MC Fool or whatever's going on right now.
Young Thug.
Young Thug, dude, you better get that. And you look at me, do you own it? Well, no, I don't own it, but you guys should get it. Get the fuck out of here now.
Agreed. But, yeah, to me, I think you were getting too hypersensitive. And the character is who the character is.
That's it.
Yeah, I think I think those things, are, you know, the behind the scenes where they just want to make sure when you casting or whatever that story you're writing, we ain't going to do all that. He's gay or he's going to be Peter Parker. He's a white boy. He likes girls. What did he say? He's got to be a virgin. He can't have sex. This is the image that we're putting out. All the other, you know, the new age and changing it up, not with this one. That's all they were saying, because we try and make some money. This is a long-standing character. I wouldn't be surprised if that was Marvel dictating it like that. Like, yo, you know, this movie has to be this way. So I'm not mad at it either.
No, I'm not mad either, because you want your character to remain true to your character. You don't want people coming there fucking it up.
Yeah. All right. Any other comic book stuff? All right, go on.
It wasn't a big week for me. You know, honestly, it wasn't that big of a week.
Oh, okay.
Oh, whoa. This was last week. What is going on in Batman?
Batman's dead, man. It's Commissioner Gordon shaved down.
Come on, man. He shaved the beard. He's 200 years old. No.
Shaved the mutt. Actually, he's only he's like in his 40s in the book.
Ah.
He is 40, but he retired. Wait, first of all, how can he be in his 40s and he got that much white hair?
But did you see how they make him look now? He looked like a young dude. He shaved all that off. He looked buff. I was like, this is that bullshit. But I somewhat sort of enjoyed it. I think it was a Batman Superman book or something. Clark Kent goes to see Batman. He doesn't realize Batman is dead. And Gordon shows up with that. First of all, somebody help me understand, because I must have missed the issues. When did Superman lose his powers, and when did he get outed?
I don't know when he got outed, but he lost his powers when he did the, I guess, super solar flare or some shit. And he lost his powers for a bit. But, you know, all honesty, I'm not reading Action Comics because I think it's written by Scott Lobdell, so you know right there, I'm out. And I don't know when he got outed, so I'll have to go back and ask around because I have not read that.
Yeah, that's such an odd, ballsy move. I assume they're going to retcon that somehow, because obviously,
they are.
If the world knows he's Clark Kent, it takes away the whole Superman thing.
I was talking to my retailer. Apparently, DC, with all this new 52 nonsense that no one is buying, they're bringing back the multiverse.
I thought that was sort of established in Convergence.
Why? But my thing is what?
But they're bringing back other things too.
Why are they bringing back the multiverse if they're only going to do so many comic books? So what's the point of having a multiverse if you're not going to actually tap in and explore these other universes?
Because these companies now, with the people in charge, they are not creative people. They're people who follow numbers, and number one books sell, which means more number ones.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of number ones coming out.
See, and it's all horse shit, and people are going to buy them up. Ooh, number one. Ooh.
Yeah.
Horse shit.
All right. I think we've extinguished that. And with that, we're going to wrap this thing up. Unless anybody else got anything else they want to throw out there.
Just real quick, I want to say happy 40th anniversary to Jaws. Jaws was released 40 years ago this date.
Right on.
The movie that started the whole summer blockbuster extravaganza phenomenon.
Yeah, it's like we're going to scare your ass into the movie theaters because you won't go to the beach anymore.
Yeah, I might have to try and watch that again.
I have it on Blu-ray, and I got to tell you, it is. Steven Spielberg did a great job with the transfer. It looks awesome. And surprisingly, it still holds up. I mean, you know, most people, of course, think of the theme and the shark attacks. But it's the most character driven out of all of the movies. As a matter of fact, a little shameless plug here on my blog, I have the scene where the Indianapolis where Quint is giving that speech about that. I have that in my blog as one of the great movie scenes of all time. So, I mean that is just a beautiful scene written, and actually Robert Shaw wrote that scene on his own and. Kind of a backstory. He filmed it one day. He was too drunk to film it. and then they came back the next day and he nailed it like one take.
Okay.
Yeah. And one more thing about it. Him and Dreyfuss did not get along. That was not exaggerated for the characters. They absolutely hated each other.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I definitely got to revisit that movie.
Check it out. Happy anniversary.
Speaking of that, I gotta throw this in here because I gotta do it. Star Wars, you know, we're getting closer to The Force Awakens. I believe today season 2 of Rebels debuts tonight, and Darth Vader getting it in. I had to watch a review on it, and James Earl Jones, they brought him back, and he has a lot of screen time, apparently. And they said this is a pretty incredible episode, so definitely look out for that. The leaks have started. There is a cool picture that Disney is trying to get people to take down, but it's a picture of Han Solo, Finn, and Kylo Ren. Talk about my brother here. What's the black dude's name? I can't think of his name. That's going to be in a Star Wars movie.
John Boyega.
They're in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon and flying through space. So we see our first little glimpse of that. There's also another picture of the, they call him the general character, and the character that also is the that chrome stormtrooper character with the cape. They're like on a bridge.
Brian of Tarth.
Yeah, there's a picture of them on a, it looks like maybe the bridge of a Star Destroyer or something. And then there's some other pictures that have leaked of some of the pilots from the X-Wings and different characters. So there's a lot of little things starting to come out here and there. There's also a picture that leaked of Princess Leia from the movie. We haven't seen her yet, but there was a picture that came out this week, a grainy one, but
yeah, if they know what they're doing, we're not going to see that too.
is she wearing the gold bikini?
No.
They're gonna give her the Cersei Lannister treatment. Get the body double.
I don't think we want to see her in that type of stuff no more. But there's a picture of Akbar that's out, and also the picture of the, what was that big lip dude that sat next to Lando, in Return of the Jedi, the pilot dude. He's in the movie. Is another picture? Yeah, or one of his species. I assume it's the same dude, but maybe it's a different guy. But
and if we can't get Lando back. Come on,
seriously. Lando gonna be in the movie.
He'll be in it.
They ain't gonna try to alienate the black coat. Well, you never. They don't give a fuck. It's all about LGBTQ.
Black guy's one of the leads of the movie. So let's be clear.
Are you sure he's the lead or he's just there?
One of the leads. I mean, we don't know who's all leading, but obviously they show him a lot. So they got some people in there. See, I'm a ride for Star Wars. You can't say nothing bad about it. I'm so hyped, man. I can't even believe the movie's coming out, man. It's crazy. But anyway. All right. Go ahead.
So you're going to be making the flight to Hawaii to take the kids to it, right?
I may have to.
Just me. As the daddy with the Star Wars, you need to do that.
Well, you know, my daughter is coming. Her name is Leia. So definitely I'm going hard.
Wait. I'm sorry. Repeat that again. What?
Yeah. Her middle name is Leia.
Oh, motherfucker.
My son's name is Lucas, and that's not by chance. So that's an homage to,
you know,
George Lucas. But go ahead.
Every female I've dated, I've had to fight to get my son named Anthony My Kitty the second. And you can get Lucas and Leia? Some bullshit.
Force is strong with this one.
That's cool.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know how we do about this time. We go around the room so you can find us online. Big Sexy and Sack, where can they find you?
Facebook under Mark Wiggins and Twitter under Big Sexy and Sack.
All right, Mr. Sean Hill.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Hill Street Views, also Facebook, Sean Hill, and the blog hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. Current reviews right now, dope. No reviews next week. However, I will be doing my semi-annual best worst of 2015 so far. So some of the films we've talked about will probably be on that list.
All right, and last but certainly not least, Mr. Ann Poo.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and at Poo. And July 11th, if you're in Comic-Con, come see us in Hall 14.
I think it's 14. Dun, 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 dun.
No, 11. For the We Are All Heroes diversity panel. Now with Mr. Everybody Hates Chris himself, Mr. Simp-Ass Walking Dead, Tyler James Williams.
All right.
Well, there goes that interview.
Way to dish your guest.
Not him. I'm talking about the character he played. He up there saying Captain Save a Ho for, what was her name? Damn, Beth.
Spoiler.
Damn.
All right. We'll definitely check you out, Comic-Con.
It's the zombie apocalypse. Let that ho go. Let it go.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please follow us on Twitter at Podcast Juice, also Facebook, let's look up Podcast Juice. And then, of course, the website is podcastjuice.net. You know what we always say? Work it like a job. We'll see you next time. Peace.